I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
That's lovely, buddy.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Sing it unto him. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen. You want to see him? Then just look into his word. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to be here in the middle of the week. As Terrence has said, forgive us for the problems downstairs, and if any of you has got a bad problem tonight because you didn't get your evening coffee, I'm sorry about that. You didn't get it, so we'll have to, if it works out good tonight, nobody goes to sleep, we will not have coffee next Wednesday. Okay. Yep. So just remember that. Remember the ones that are not here, and just pray that the Lord would bless each one. And if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians. Now remember, the minister's meeting will be this coming Saturday. The Lord willing, Wade and I will be traveling over to Brother Gerald Hughes for the minister's meeting and then coming back. And then Wade's got to go preach for Brother Burley for the weekend on the Sunday, so just remember that. And also remember now, the fellowship meeting will be not just coming Saturday, but the next Saturday, and Brother Forney will be with us preaching for the weekend. So keep those things in mind, the announcements and things, that the Lord would bless each one. Any other announcements? I generally miss something, but just pray one for another. All right? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for an opportunity to be able to come out, to be able to gather together with people of like precious faith, and just to talk about you a little bit, and Lord, and let you come on the scene among us and manifest yourself, because you promised that anywhere two or three would be gathered in your name, that you would be there. So we're dependent upon that. We believe we've gathered for that one purpose, not to be seen or to just to have a place to go, but to be to the word that we could hear from you. And we're asking that you bless each one, bless those that are here and those that are not able to be here, and just let your love be with each and every one. Forgive our sins, because we want to be covered by the blood. Lead us now as we speak about you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, now we're going to read on down to about the 11th verse tonight, but we'll start the 3rd verse through to the 11th verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And I read on down to the 10th verse, because we'll get to that after a while. You know, I've heard people in the message say that, especially one man said he didn't believe in dispensations. Well, you know, the prophet said you'd be messed up in the Bible if you didn't believe in dispensations. Now, you would really get confused. And we'll read one after a while. And you know, but it says, "Thou art the dispensation of the fullness of times." And, you know, the prophet said that there was a dispensation of the law, there was a dispensation of this, there was a dispensation of that. And he said, and there's a dispensation of adoption. All right? So then that's the time that we're living in, is this hour. So we'll get to that, the Lord willing, on as we go along. Now, what have we been talking about? I said we've been talking about adoption. Adoption is to adopt someone into your family, and, you know, bringing them into your line or inheritance or lineage or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, in doing that, see, then that's our natural words of adoption. But in the Bible terminologies, the children of Israel, the right of adoption was in the basis that a child was born, a son of into the family, you know, a child. And then they came to a place of the tutoring or training to where that they could be adopted into the family. And we're bringing that and trying to look at it, you know, from the scriptural point, but trying to make it just as simple as we can and talk about it as much as we can get into, you know, and not try to run off. Everybody wants to talk about this and that on adoption, but to me, I believe we need to just, you know, kind of slow down and think about the things that we're talking about. Because, see, you and I were alienated, as we covered in the last message. We were away from God. We had no hopes. We were Gentiles. We had no lineage rights. We had nothing. The adoption, really, the scripture is said that it was pertaining to Israel, you know, because they had the right of sonship. But when they turned down that right of sonship and we as Gentiles accepted the right, see, then that would make us the children of God. All right? Now, as one firm believer, I believe that we must be born again to be a child of God. I don't believe, as I told you last Wednesday, everybody in the world is a child of God by natural creation. It don't matter who it is, Adolf Hitler, who, or the good or the bad, it doesn't matter. Every person is a child of God by natural creation. All right? But that was not what Nicodemus was talking to Jesus about when he had heard him speak about the kingdom and that was not what he was doing. So Jesus said, you must be born again. In other words, that's like I've told you, that there's a lot more was said than what's written in the Bible, but there was probably hours of discussion upon the fact, and not just a 5-minute conversation and Nicodemus gets up and walks out, you know. And there was probably a whole evening there that they had discussed things, and you know, and in the point, Nicodemus, he said, but it wouldn't do me any good because I've understood what you're saying. You're saying that I was born wrong. So if I went back to my mother again and come out, you would say I'd be born wrong again. And that would be true. See, that wouldn't make any difference. But Jesus was talking about another kingdom. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost that he had to come and make way for, to where that it could come to give his own life, you know, to bring us into it. And we must receive the new birth to become the children of God. I know the people of the message, they love all of those quotes, you know. Oh, I always was eternal. I always was a child of God. Well, I agree with what the prophet said, but I don't agree with the slant or ways that people use those things for their own benefit, because it can't be contrary to what he would say in another place. See? One can't fight the other one, so then we need to settle down and just think about the fact that we were lost, Amen. Doomed and on our way to hell. Right. and deserved every bit of it. Right. But see, Jesus Christ made a way to bring us into the family. All right? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, put them into the kingdom, made them in the family of God, made the people there the children of God. All right? A different type of child, not just a child by natural creation, as everybody is, but this is a child of God, the kind of child that God wanted. All right. Then we came down and we lost those rights of in the tutorship and the things like that. It turned out until it wound up being, to where you can just barely get into the body of Christ. And then God had to restore the word and the things. And I want you to watch that if I have time to get to it. If I don't, I will Sunday. I just want to be slow. That's what I'm trying to make it, is real slow and anchor it to where, that you'll know what I believe, and the people listening know then what I believe. I believe you must be born again before you can have eternal life. Oh, but I believe, see, I always was eternal. Well, read on what the prophet said. He said, if you have eternal life. Amen. If you have eternal life, the eternal life you have always was eternal. All right. But yet we're here in a lost condition, searching for God, trying to find a way, and then everybody comes along with telling us we just really didn't need God anyway. All we need to do is just wait till we die. We're all going to heaven. Yeah. Well, wouldn't that be the way it would be if you had eternal life? You just either wait until something happened, that the Big Bang Theory would be banged again, in reverse, and we'd go back into eternity. But see, people don't realize what their doctrines, the way that they talk and things, of what their doctrines show, how much of the stupidity that we are as human mortals to try to make our own way. But I believe you must be born again. And then we were covering that the prophet said, God gave you a tutor, according to Galatians 4, that the child differed nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Though he be an only child, say, and he's, an only son, and his total inheritance is when his father passes away, he would be heir of all things. And see, he is right there because he's a child of God. He's a child of the person. All right? But yet, being that, he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed. All right? God knows how to raise children. I like Brother Gary years ago. He always liked the way Sister Orr was. Sister Orr, they had them three boys, and she'd bring this big old long hickory. Well, when them boys act up, she'd just, she never even lost a beat listening the way it looked most of the time. She just reached over and wrapped them, and it took care of it, But God really is the one that knows how to raise children. And that's one thing I want you to get out of this. I tried to get it in last service, and I want to get it into this service. I want to instill into your mind, I want this point in your mind. We, a lot of times, look at things and think that there's nothing going on. And if we had what we think we have, we ought to see all of these other things. And then they'll turn around and say, well, look at what they've done in the book of Acts. Well, I agree. I would have loved to have been back there, wouldn't you? But bring them from the book of Acts over here and let them stay over here about 3 months. They probably want to go back to the book of Acts. That's as carnal as I can make the point, but the point of it is, they were not facing the devils you and I are having to face every day. The prophet said, the spirit that gave their lives back down through the ages, he said, is in you and I to just be able to overcome. Just to be able to overcome. Right here. They didn't face what we're facing. That's not excuses. That's what everybody says about me. They say, you just make excuses. You explain it like a Baptist. You just explain it away to where, No, it's a fact. It ain't an excuse. What's your excuse? I know people don't like for me to be that harsh, but see, that's when you throw it out there, be able to take it back and swallow it at least. What's your excuse? Me? I know that gets hard, and I'm hard myself on it, because I don't like for people to say that God's not doing anything. For us to just live daily in the new birth and living in the hour we're living, it's harder than the basis. The prophet said it'd be easy to be able to give you life for the gospel. It'd be easy to just walk up and say, I'm a Christian. Go ahead and kill me. But you see, then when you start trying to explain about things, you're trying to explain something away. There's nobody in this building, nobody in this world believes in manifestation any greater than the man you're looking at. Because I've seen God. I've seen Him manifest Himself. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen the sick healed. I've seen storms go away at a word. I've seen rain come because of a word. I've seen those things. And you're witnesses to it. And I'm witnesses into a lot of your lives and what you've seen and done and the things that God has done through you. It ain't been us anyway. See? But the thing of it is, see, God gave us the tutor. All right? Now, get to point. The tutor's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Well, now, listen. If you don't believe in dispensations or stages or something, see, then you get all messed up, because I believe it was the night before last, to Brother Branham on adoption, and he was talking about, he said, in the church age, he said, and there's no difference, said the Father and the Holy Spirit's got to be the same. He said, or else Jesus had two daddies. All right? Now, so then the tutor you're given is the Holy Spirit, right? But that's the Father that comes in you. That's not a second person or a third person that comes in you. Look at what the prophet said. Said he could search heaven trying to find the greatest. And he said to found the greatest of all, the Holy Spirit. Why? See, we look at adoption, like I said, we look at it like that the Father's going off the scene. That's what I've always heard, and it seemed what I, you know, seemingly listen to people, that adoption means the Father's going off the scene. Boy, look at us sons, man. Look at it. Boy, look at it. We're what it is. Well, I don't look at it that way. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. If the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and that is the Father in the form of the Holy Spirit to do the tutoring and raising, then the Father's inside of you.
Amen.
The very one that the Holy Spirit is going to report back to, that we look at and try to make Trinitarianism out of it. The Holy Spirit's down here, and He's trying to cover up, and over here's the Father, and He's going and taking Him to report. That's just an example. The Holy Spirit is the Father living inside of you, making you a son. Because it's the only way you can be a son. Those little things is what I'm trying to cover. See? We've preached on adoption. We've been through a lot of it. But trying to just cover some small, little, minute things that you can't have the Holy Spirit as one person and the Father another person. So look what He's doing. The Father is coming on the scene in the Son. Wasn't that what Jesus was? Was not Jesus Almighty God manifested in human flesh?
Amen.
Is that true? Well, then if He was Almighty God in human flesh, what does He expect His children to be?
Right.
It wasn't Jesus one person and God another person. See? That won't work out. You're going back to your Trinitarianism.
Right.
No. Jesus was God made manifest.
Right.
He said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins.
That's right.
He was making a statement out there a while ago talking about something, and I won't say no more than this part of it, that it was, you know, Brother Dick and I was about it, and a brother said that Jesus didn't heal nobody. Well, I know He's trying to make the body, you know. But you better get your scriptures right, folks. To forgive sins is to heal. Right. The Bible said the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. Now, the Son of Man was the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. See, it sounds beautiful. But where is the foundation? Where is the basis to hold it on? See, adoption is not that the Father just backs out of it and he's off the scene and he's gone. No. He come on the scene in that new birth that you receive. That's God in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why would it say form? Why would the prophet use it that way? Because it's a dispensation. There was a dispensation of the Old Testament, Jehovah God. There was a dispensation of Jesus Christ on earth. Now it's a dispensation of the Holy Spirit, right? Who is our tutor, our raiser. But that's the Father coming on the scene in you and me, Sister Gail. It's not the Holy Spirit reporting to the Father, trying to tell the Father how... See, you say, well, that's what Brother Branham said. Well, you know what he's saying. He's not explaining two or three gods. He's making a story or an illustration. He's dealing with dispensations. The Father is trying to get His nature instilled into the Son. And that's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus. That He was God Almighty manifested in flesh. And He went through these things. Remember the life's message? He had a River Jordan. He had a baptismal. He had a time that the Holy Spirit come down and identified Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right. Then he had a time on Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him. See? Deeper, greater things. But it's the same God. Right? See, He went through these things for you and I that we might be able to go through them. All right? So then don't, as we're talking about the tutor, see? The Holy Spirit being your raiser. Just put that in your mind and think about it, that it's the very nature of Almighty God. It's not a second person coming in to you and live out a little while in you, and then he's answering to the third person. And it's just trying to explain things to us as human mortals. And like I told Brother Dick out there a while ago, I said, we've been 40 years, over 40 years since the prophet left, and we needed every day of it. And we need 40 more years. We need 40 more years of the deepening, the teaching. Yes, but we've done covered one God. Have we? We've done covered predestination. Have we? I preach predestination ever since I've been in this message. But you know, I seen here a while back that foreknowledge preceded or went before foreknowledge. I mean, before the predestination. And that helped me. You say, well, I've seen that all along. Well, did you? I saw it, yeah, but I didn't see it by revelation. A lot of difference in the two. You can talk about a lot of things. Sure, we've covered one God, we've covered water baptism, we've covered marriage and divorce, but have we? Why is there so many doctrines around the world about this, about who Jesus, whether it was River Jordan, or whether there's two gods, or whether there's, you know, how many they are and what's going on? What's the problem? Well, that's just your way of seeing it. Well, if my way is what the Bible says, then I'll just stay with my way. You know. And you come and show me that it's not. But don't come along and say, oh, but I want to explain to you the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Father. No. It's a self-same person. But it's the way He manifests Himself. See? All right. Now, see, the tutor that Paul was speaking of was the one that would come on the scene and make way, you know, for, in other words, God had to come in human flesh, make way that you and I could become the children of God. All right? Then when we become the children of God, Then we're in line of adoption after our child training. You know. And I've done it deliberately. I held the quotes and the things of the life's message, and I told you how I was doing it. I held it to just down to the point of saying the new birth is what makes us the sons and daughters of God. And then that new birth brings the tutor into us to teach us. So the Father's not gone. Was God gone somewhere off into to the heavenly heaven somewhere and left Jesus by himself? No, that was still Almighty God. See? And what are we? See, then the Holy Spirit being the tutor is the nature of the Father, but it's as a baby, as we've read it so many times there in Ephesians, where we receive the earnest of our inheritance. See? It just makes us a baby. But the prophet, I gave you a bunch of quotes and things on, you ought to know it, where he said, that's where the Pentecostal people failed. He said, they said, well, we've got it. Well, us Baptists said that. Right? Us Baptists said we got it all when we believed. Well, the Pentecostals come along and they just said we got it all when we shouted and we spoke in tongues. And I've heard both ends of the scale. I told you about sitting talking with two men one night. One of them went this way and he said, when I got my new birth, I was full adopted, son of God, right into the body. Fully adopted. Headstone, everything. Another guy on the other side was sitting there and he said, you didn't get nothing. And you don't even have the Holy Ghost yet. I said, well, brothers, let me somewhere stay between both of you. You know, I just wanting to help them, you know, to be friends, but I was just plainly telling them, somewhere in between there is where I'm dwelling. Because I believe in the new birth. I believe that makes you a child of God. And like I've told you, then no man is a match for the devil. We believe that. But the Holy Spirit in the least member of the body of Christ is not just a match for the devil. He is the devil's God.
Right. Amen.
See? And one day he'll bow to that.
Right.
Amen. See? Because we're his master.
Right.
All right. But listen. I wrote it down. See, we don't get a Holy Ghost as a tutor and then some of these days we'll come up to another place that the Father will come on the scene. No. It's just stages or dispensations or whatever that you want to make it. I'm trying to just make it in an understanding that it comes in, and you don't like to use the word degrees because people don't like that. They don't like for you to say, well, it's negative to positive, so you have to go from partial to perfect. Brother Branham didn't have any trouble dealing with negative to positive. He sure used it. He must have known what he was talking about. But you see, you and I must receive the new birth to be in the family. See? Whereas in the natural form of adoption, the prophet is using as an example unto us, the son was born into the family at his natural birth. Then brought up to the adoptional position. In the new birth, we must receive the new birth to come into the family of God. And then we can start the child training. We can be like the scripture says in 1 Peter 1 and 23. Peter says, being born again. Something going on. Being. B-E-I-N-G. I argued with the Baptist when I was back there. I said, it said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I said, you're saying he that believes. It doesn't say that. It said believeth. Yeah. Because I didn't like that form of doing. But Peter said, going on in the second Peter, he said, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Every person from the time of the book of Acts, 120 in the upper room, they were tutored and trained in the Holy Ghost fell. Give them the faith of the fathers. Right? But the 3,000 outside started out as babies. They just heard one sermon. and they receive the new birth. See? So then look at everything in child training, our stages, our you know, growth development, whatever you can do in your mind to make it into your way of thinking. But just remember now that you and I must first be born again. The prophet of God said that's the most important thing in the world, is whether or not you're born again. Well, I don't want to raise a hand. I don't want anything. I'm just asking you, do you know you're born again? If not, then I would be seeking God. Oh, I know what that is, though. That devil get on you, so, oh, don't you deny anything now. You got to be positive. Well, that's what I'm trying to be, is positive. I'm as positive as can be. If you're not born again, you're lost. How much more positive can I get? No more than I could say that I was born into the world by some other mechanical devices other than my mother and father. No? I wasn't an illegal alien that plopped down here. I had a natural birth, didn't you? Well, I must have a spiritual birth. See? All right, in doing that then we come to the basis that the quotes tonight will be being used as to talk about how that tutor or raiser and what he's been doing. Right, now, he didn't give us an intellectual something to raise us. Now, listen to the way I say it. The fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. We believe that, right? Amen. But you know, fivefold ministry is not the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit uses the fivefold ministry. Okay, fine, we're all right. But the Holy Spirit is your inside teacher. Right? Right? He's the advocate. He's all the things we need, the comforter, etc. And you know what? You get that when you're born again. Right. You don't grow in grace and knowledge and then find out you got an advocate. He was there when you was born again. Amen. He was the healer. He's the Savior. He's everything in that new birth. All right? See, then in doing it, now watch it tonight, our point is what? That Brother Branham will tell you the Pentecostals made the mistake of thinking they got everything. Huh? So now, you go around in the message and you talk to people. Huh? And you'll find out that they don't believe in, now listen to the wording, you'll find out they don't believe in the teaching of the Bible or the prophet's message. Oh yeah, they read it. They said, no, they don't believe in the teaching of it. They don't believe that they need somebody to teach them that. They believe, like Brother Branham said, they believe. They say, we've got an inside teacher. We don't need a teacher. He said, well, then why did God put teachers in the body? You know, in the fivefold ministry. But you see, that's what people will do. And I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about congregations. I'm talking about around the world. Because they don't believe in it. But now, Brother Dale, I'm telling you now, you're just all messed up and you're thinking, okay, all right. You just don't understand about everybody else. Okay. I ain't going to argue with you. I evidently don't think like they do because I don't preach like they do. But I'm going to make a statement to you. And I want you to think about it for a while. And if I finish the message, I'll explain it tonight. If I don't, I'll wait till Sunday. I want to ask you a simple question. And you'll see why we've been here 40 years, or 44 really, since, you know, somewhere close to that. How do you get the virtues and the stature of a perfect man. All right, now most of you have been around long enough, you've heard me preach on it over and over and over and over. So you ought to be able to answer me at least for words. But how do you get it? You show me one church, and I'm as serious as I can be, folks. I'm not. You show me one church where they preach dress, hair, clothes, and women, and what they're doing, and this, that, and the other, every service, and I'll show you that they're still doing the same thing after 40 years. Well, see, what we look at it is we think that we just need faith, and so what we need to do, we just need to preach faith. You know, we just need to preach faith. Yeah, all right, I agree with you. But then we say we need virtue. Well, let's just preach on virtue. We'll just preach about 20 years on virtues, and we'll, you know, on virtue, and we'll get virtue. Well, you've had 40 years. Where you at? You see, I don't mind saying those things, because you're looking at a man that's never been that way. You're looking at a man that has tried his best to bring you the message of the hour in this best that could ever be brought, and not my own opinion. But yet, where's the popularity? They'd rather have a guy that's made 15 predictions and none of them come to pass. They'd rather have somebody that's gone off in adultery, literally and spiritually especially, than to hear somebody that really can stand and talk about the Word. Now, you won't admit it, but you know that's true. You know it's true. You've been around long enough, most of you have to, you know it's true. Will it bring virtue for us to preach on virtue? Will it bring patience for us to beat each other up? Well, how are you going to get patience? Well, Brother Dale, tribulation worketh patience. Well, is that going to bring it? How can you tie together your new birth with your adoption? As I said when I started, it stages. I don't know how to explain it. Stages, you know, doings, one after the other. But it's all the same work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that justified you will sanctify you, and it'll baptize you into the body. And that's not three works of grace. That's three stages of the same grace. But how can we get these things? Can you tie together your doctrine with your new birth? Well, now, naturally, if all you know about the new birth is that I shouted, screamed, cried, you know, done this, that, the other, if that's all you know about the new birth, then no wonder you can't tie nothing together. But I thought the new birth was the birth of the Word. I mean, that's the way I believe it. I believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. Huh? So then the headstone would be all the Word, right? Well, it's being born again. Something's going on. That Holy Spirit has been leading us and drawing us upward by the preaching of the gospel. See, one of these days you'll understand why Brother Dale does like he does, that I've never felt led to go back and literally take the seals one after the other and preach on them again. And a lot of you are listening to them now and saying, well, you know what? It sounds just like you're talking right now. That's 82, 83, 84. Because you don't have to go back and preach it again, because it still stands. But I'm just trying to make a point. Now listen. See, we wonder, well, why isn't things going on? Now, you don't pray for rain in a monsoon season. Right? I mean, is that sensible? I mean, you got a monsoon season dumping inches of rain on you every day and everything's flooding and everything, and you say, well, I'm going to pray for rain. Now, you want to pray for it to quit. Right? But you see, it's got to be dry, in other words, to pray for rain. So it'd have to be a drought for you to really get down to pray for rain. If you're not sick, you're not praying to be healed, are you? So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. It doesn't make me down and out because that we're sick and problems and troubles and heartaches. Yes, it does on one basis, because I would sure love to see every one of us healed, delivered, walk away here in glorified bodies tonight. Yes, sirree. I'd love to see every one of us be able to even just be changed back to a young man, to a young woman, let alone a change to go up into the glory. Because with that would automatically come a whole lot better position than we're living in. But where is that going to change us? All right. See, then the prophet tells you what our trouble is. You know what our trouble is? You know what my trouble is? Me. My trouble's not you. Mm-mm. My trouble's me. Your trouble is the one you're looking in the mirror at when you look and, you know, there's your trouble. It's not somebody else, because ain't nobody big enough to get in front of you, kind of like Brother Moulton was that time when down here in Lula, and this old boy was, the law come up, and they was doing a bunch of things, and this old boy run over to hide, and he hid behind a 2x4, you know, a post. Well, the policeman walked over there and said, what are you doing? He said, hiding. Well, there was a whole lot more of him outside than there was hid, you know. And that's our problem, is me and you. Now, here is some things that you will not like because you won't understand. When the prophet of God, in some of these quotes that we give, he said, your sons and daughters are doing things wrong. He said they've become organizational minded. He said they're out doing things of the world. He said they're staying home from church and watching television. He says your daughters are wearing immoral clothing. I'll tell you, bless God, that ain't me. Brother Brandon, he was talking about people that was lost. Now, you go argue with him. Remember, he was the prophet. And he was the one that the Holy Spirit had to straighten out one day when he said, you quit calling my children Rickies and Rickettas. You remember that? He said, that's my children. Well, you know what he was saying? He was calling them Rickies and Rickettas. You know what? Because they were Rickies and Rickettas, right? They were living just like Ricky, and they were living like Rickettas. He had every right humanly to say that. But the Holy Spirit said, you're talking about my children. But see, we're so judgmental. And that's one of the things the prophet uses to talk about, that we don't come to adoption because of that. Fussing and arguing and little petty feelings and things. But Brother Dale, you believe he's just living like the devil? I've explained that. But I've also explained that I don't believe in a big sin and a little sin. I've tried to be as much as I could to explain those things, even to breaking down the body, spirit, and soul, to show that it's not the soul that sinneth, because if it is, then that soul is lost. But in our spirit and our body, we do things wrong. And you asked Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, do you sin? He said, every day. Now, is that right? Did he say that? Amen. He's not sinning every day. Well, was he sinning in his soul, or was he sinning in his body and spirit? Oh, he's just sinning in his soul. Well, if he was just sinning in his soul, he's lost. Man, that's blunt. Yeah. But you see, through the opening of the Word, we can know the difference. I'll get back to it in a few minutes, but I just want to talk about it. But a random says what? You've got them, you read them. He said he has to bring a report to the Father of our disobedience. Now, do any of us have disobedience? We're going to take on the next time that we have Bible study, it's going to be on Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. You think you've got works of the flesh? No, sorry. I read that. I said murder, adultery, whoremonger. You break that word down. Get a dictionary and see what that word murder means. And remember, the prophet said, if you kill anybody's influence, you've murdered them. Of course, we don't do that. But you see? I'm just trying to lay down a point. Because if you and I, now, you're not going to like this point, but I'm going to make it. There's a lot of quotes here the prophet covers about our disobedience and about how that we are not lined up and how that we stay at home on watch TV on Wednesdays or whatever we do, and that we want to be intellectuals and be raised that way and all other things. But you know, if we got every bit of this straight, if we could line up everything this prophet says right here. And I'm waving before the congregation, I don't know, probably 30 quotes. And I believe every one of them. But if we could line every one up with that, it'd still be no rapture. Be a better people, but not a rapture. It would not bring one new birth if we lined up to everything that's in here. That's strong, isn't it? To know that you're a prophet in the way he preached. But he's the one that's telling us that's the way it is. If we could line up our lives until we lived a total perfection of perfection, it would not save us. It would make us more lost than ever. You agree? But you see, we're looking at it in a way I've always seen people, when they look at adoption, we're gonna keep going like this, and one of these days we're going to start getting better, and we're going to start getting better, and we're going to start getting better. And boy, we'll just find it, we'll just get so good until we walk off the earth. Yeah, I wish that was true. But the more the Lord Jesus came in contact, and the more he came into authority, the worse things got around him. Not in him now, but around him. All right, think on it. He says we're not progressing because that we're not listening to him. A lot of quotes here. I hope I'm getting my point across, at least for one thing. I know it don't seem to be, but still I'm trying. If we lined up to everything the prophet of God had to say, we would be no closer to adoption. I said if we lined up If we could get ourselves lined up, it wouldn't be no closer. Because you see, God's got a way.
Amen.
Sure. It's going to be His way. He's not going to send the headstone, your prophet said, because of your merits. He said He'll send it because He promised it. Hmm? Well, boy, you sure are a funny preacher because you don't believe in living right. No, I don't believe in living right. I don't. I've made that plain. I know people don't understand. You cut your tape off, you really got me there, hadn't you? I believe in being born again. I believe the tutor's coming inside of you. The raiser's inside of you. The Father's inside of you. I believe the new birth is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwelling in you.
Amen.
All right? And see, that way let Him live out.
Right.
And just remember then, no matter how good that it comes that we can live, we would never be able to reach a perfection. There where it's talking about be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, that is not talking about stopping doing things. That's not it. It's taking His nature and depending upon your sacrifice. Well, the way you sound is it's okay to go do anything. Now, if I've got to explain that to this congregation that's sitting here, now maybe out there on the internet, maybe they're listening, they don't understand me, I know that, but if I've got to explain to this church that I believe in just living like a garbage can, that everything's going to be all right. Nope. But I believe sons and daughters of God have trouble. And I believe what your prophet said. But you don't even listen to him, see? And Brother Branham made a statement. He makes a lot of statements about things. He made a statement one time that really was concerned me a lot. Because he said, I don't preach because I'm saved. You remember that? He said, I don't preach because I'm saved. He said, because I'm saved whether I preach or not. Now, bud, you better swallow it because you better finish the rest of the statement Brother Branham made. He said, if I go out here on the creek bank and sit down and don't preach no more, I'm still saved. Now, if you go out on the creek bank and you sit down, you're not in church. But see, he's making a point, right? Because his point is, I preach because I love God. Not because I'm saved or anything. I preach because He called me and I want to help His people. Now, He ain't going out on the creek bank and sitting down, is He? He's just making a strong point. Just like He's making a point when He says your sons and daughters are out here living in the world. Now, He's talking about Christians. No. He's not talking about born again. He's talking about church Christians. Well, why is he explaining so much about the tutor? He's explaining that he gave you the tutor and you got the tutor and still go out and do wrong. Now read. Do I need to read it? He's explaining that he gave you the tutor. And you're still doing wrong. Because you see, we're not looking at it the way he's talking about. He said a child is a child. And he says there's nothing you can do to get away from being a child. But he said adoption is your growth development or your tutoring or training. Huh? Then we look at it as thinking that if there would be some way that I could get better, I'd get adopted. Now, why would it say that Jesus grew in grace and knowledge? Why does it say that? You ever thought about it? The scripture says that, you know. And that being a child, learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect. But you know, them people that was there with the money changers and the things like that, did they really think he is perfect when he plaited a rope and rut them out? People in this message, see, they try to explain everything. I know a couple of brothers tried their best to explain that to me one time, and they said, well, what he done now, he didn't beat the people. Said he beat the animals. I said, man, that's worse. The animals didn't have anything to do with getting in there. The people took them in there. But you see, it sounded good that he didn't beat the people, he beat the animals. Well, that'd make him a hypocrite. Because he'd be beating the animals, and the animals had nothing to do with getting in there. I said, y'all making it worse. But see, it didn't change that. Once you get that thing in your mind, you're just going to play around with them little things. But you see, what Brother Branham would call Christians, we call devils. Right? You know that he said Billy Graham had the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Oral Roberts? Huh? But you see, we want to look at it so that we've gauged it so much until if there's any little mark, we're just not a Christian no more. Yeah. Brother Brown said about many men in this message, and he said they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, now what they got is they got it on their spirit. Well, now, maybe that might be right. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to just say that's up between you and Brother Branham talk about. See? Because we think that we've got to the point, and it's never been taught that here, so you've got to have it somewhere else. See, because I've never taught it. I never taught some kind of a human perfection in the flesh. I've never done that. I'm a firm believer in that there's none good, no, not one. But I'm a firm believer in an atonement, a sacrifice, an advocate, a comforter. And I'm dependent upon Him to make a way for me to do that. See? You Pentecostal people, you jump the fence. You thought that when you were born again, that settled it. That only was the beginning. That's right. You're a son, surely, when you're born. But when this son was born, he was an heir of all things yet. He had to go through the testings and trials to find out if he was the right type of son to fall heir of all things. I'm just saying it. You say, we've been here 40-something years. And we're not no further up the road. We've preached all the doctrines. I differ with you 100%. We've preached doctrines, yes. Doctrines. Revelation is a lot of difference in the revelation and doctrine. A lot of difference in the two words. Revelation will bring us to adoption. But because we beat each other and holler and scream to each other, you know, how many of you women wear long dresses because you're afraid somebody will say something to you about it? Or is it really from the inside that it wouldn't matter if you was out in the backside of the desert, you'd wear the same thing? How about it? Well, if I had the Holy Spirit, I would. He never sent an archbishop to be our tutor, a general overseer, or a district man. That's where we've made our mistake. Who do you follow? What group are you in? You follow the Thunders, the Virtues, the River Jordan, the Two Souls, the Lulaites? Ha! See, Brother Dale talks plain. Yeah. Well, I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm just trying to make one point to us. We are the only people that don't follow a man. You ever thought of that? We're accused of that, right? But every denomination has got a man they follow. You say, but I follow Brother Branham. Well, see, that's where your problem's at. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you follow the same Christ that Brother Branham was following, amen. But if you're following Brother Branham, where are we? We've got into archbishops and governors and general overseers and all of that. If his character didn't show up right, he didn't inherit anything. He was just a son. Now remember, I explained that. If you're truly born again, there's no way if you die and go to hell, because you can't lose your sonship. You know. Right? But that don't mean we have all inheritance, because we've got to come through that. See? But what are we talking about? Just looking down and reading some things. You can read them. The teacher must be an honest person, not a man that wants the father to pat him on the back, but a man that'll be honest with the father. If the child is disobedient, he'll walk up with a shamed face and say, sir, I'm sorry to bring this message, but your child is so dilatory. He doesn't listen to nothing. He's not concerned at all. How the father must feel. Just thinking of these things. What's the matter today? We've adopted a different tutor for the church of the living God than what God gave us. See, we want man to lead us. And I admit around this message that that's what I see most of the people, preachers, want. They want you to follow them. They'd be tickled to death if you would never make a decision unless you went and asked them whether to drive a Cadillac or a Buick or buy a house or whatever to do. Please don't bother me with it. Tell me you pray about your decision to go buy something. I'll be glad to do that, but I'm not going to counsel you about what kind of car or house to buy. But that's what people want. But you see, I want the Holy Spirit to lead you. And then I ain't got to worry about it. I have no concern about somebody that's led by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Brother Dale, the Holy Spirit told me to go here and not come to church for 3 months. Well, you go do what the Holy Spirit says for you to do. Now, that kind of doing, I wouldn't agree with too much. But that's still up to you. Because it's you that's being child trained. The Holy Spirit is to raise the church and nurture it in honor and respect of the Father and of His Word. Adoption. How's my son doing? The father would ask. He's the most hard-headed kid I ever seen in my life. Yeah. That's number 6 on your notes. You want to get over and read it. Most hard-headed kid I've ever seen in my life. Now remember my point. Brother Branham is talking about all of these examples as someone with the tutor. Read them. He's talking about somebody with the tutor that's hard-headed, that don't go to church, that lays out and just does what they want to. Arrogant and hateful and attitudes. He's talking about people with a tutor. But now Brother Dale, he can't be meaning they've got the Holy Ghost. Well, now you've got to talk to Brother Branham. Well, Brother Dale, it sounds like you're saying it's just okay for us just to live anyway with the Holy Ghost. No. I didn't say that. Where'd you get that idea? Well, I got it from hearing what you said. But you see, these are babies he's talking about. See, a little different story now, right? See, you thought I was talking about it's okay just to do anything in the world. No, Brother Branham's talking about when you get the Holy Spirit, you're just a baby. And babies are the ones that are hard-headed and organizational-minded and running here and yonder and wearing the wrong clothes and laying out of church and doing these things. Every one of these, he's talking about a baby. Read them. He ain't talking about a full-grown. A full-grown person don't do that. See? I know how... I've been around a while. I know how to quote a little bit. Brother Brown said, you can't get a Holy Ghost-filled woman put on a pair of pants. Now, he didn't say a baby. He said a Holy Ghost-filled woman. Because one day you was a baby. Naturally, right? We acted like babies. And when we got born again, you know what we were? That's where Brother Ron said, you Pentecostals has messed it up. He said, because you think you got everything when you got the new birth. In other words, because they run in and spoke in tongues, like Brother Mope said. That lady said, the brother so-and-so said he run off with the piano player, but said, he called me the other day and said, he still got the victory because he's speaking in tongues on the telephone. Well, now you know I don't agree with that. See, you thought I was going some other way. So now it's up to you to repent of what your thoughts were. Get back on track where I'm at. I'm talking about the thing Brother Branham was talking about, and you read him and see. He's talking about babies. Newborn babies that desire the sincere milk of the Word to learn to do things. And I am not saying that it's okay for you to do things wrong. I'm just saying your advocate is covering for you. until you grow old enough in God to learn to live right. See? Are you listening? See, you thought I was going some other way with that, didn't you? If I was you, I would listen real careful before I made much statements in my mind. You might find out we're following the right truth. Newborn babies are babies, and that's the way they live. They look around to see what clothes somebody's wearing or what somebody's doing or what they're saying or how they're acting. Because they're just like little babies. Little babies pay close attention, little kids, close attention to what you do. That's why you better be careful while you do that. Right? You better be careful around them little kids about 2 or 3 years old. You know why? They're going to act just like you. And then they're going to be like the children were in the Bible, you know, the one out there and said, "Go up, old bald head." Them kids wouldn't have made fun of that prophet like that. It was mom and daddy was making fun of the prophet. Right? What are you trying to get across, Brother Dale? I'm trying to get across one thing in this message tonight. Let's get away from belittling one another, looking down on one another, trying to get everybody else to line up and not lining ourselves up. Let's start working on our own selves. All right? Quit being so much judgmental. Is that some of the things the prophet, let's see, I wrote one of them down. I had to look up the word because I'm sorry. I'm not able to handle all these words like a lot of you are. But let's see if I can find that one where it's, Brother Brown called it dilettante or something like that. And I had to look it up. It means unworthy. Yeah. Indigent. I-N-D-I-G-N-A-N-T. Indigent, I guess you'd say it. He said that means unworthy, the Webster says. You know, Brother Brown says that's what we are. We're unworthy. But you know, God never throwed a baby away. I wish I could preach like a lot of people. But I just have to tell you the way I think. When you're a newborn baby, you act like a newborn baby. You do like a newborn baby. You'll lay out of church. You'll just do what you want to. You'll go and do things that, you know. But you see, I want us to grow up. Not to learn not to sin. Now, that's not what I'm talking about, huh? Oh, I had to grow in grace, like Brother Woodby said, that lady said that time, said, I had to grow in grace and knowledge before I could start going to the movie picture shows. Now, that wasn't exactly what I'm talking about. I don't think you can grow in grace and knowledge to learn how to sin. Don't worry about it. You already know. The day I got born again, boy, I haven't had a dirty thought since then. You're the biggest liar in the building. But you see, babies act like babies. Maybe 71 years old, you know. But act like babies. What is the Holy Spirit going to report of our lives? All right. But you see, why did Brother Branham not stay? If all you needed is lining up in your natural life and things, why did he not stay that away in his doctrine instead of proceeding on into the opening of the Word? You don't think like that? You listen to the early messages of Brother Branham, and you listen to the later message of Brother Branham, and you'll think that Brother Branham was doing the same thing Brother Dale was doing a while ago. That he was just backing up. He was just saying it's all right to do anything in the world. Because you know what I'm saying is right. Brother Branham, in his early ministry, he hammered hard about clothes and doings and life and living. But in the end, he said he didn't have time to preach on them things. He didn't have time to dedicate babies. He said, I'm so concerned with this message that I am to bring. And said, don't you call them Rickies and Rickettas. That's my children. I would ask you to do one thing, is to listen to this message again, because I'm just talking. I think this is a good way to get the point down. We think that in 40 years we would have been able to some way make ourselves better. Won't work. All of the clothesline holiness, and I'm a believer in clothesline holiness preaching. I see a lot of stuff around here that I don't like. Well, why don't you just preach against it? Well, where has it ever done any good? Well, go to the person that's doing it. Tell them. Where would that do any good? And I'm not scared of running you off. If I thought it'd run you off for me to go to you, I would come to you in a hurry. Just take my word for it. I'd come to you in a hurry if I thought it'd run you off. But I know it won't, because you'll sit there and sour up and become a pickled up prune. And I ain't talking about Brother Hal either. I can say things about him. But you see, there has never been but one thing that would ever bring this. There's never been and never will be but one thing that will ever bring this message. I mean, bring this people to adoption. All right? Look at the last, next to the last quote. Number 11 on your notes. There's never been but one thing that will ever bring this bride to adoption. We cannot preach clothesline holiness hard enough and strong enough to bring it into manifestation, because it'll always fall off somewhere. All right. 363 Church Age Book. They said a moment ago that the false vine came into full nutrition in this age. Her fruit would mature and ripen. That is correct. This evil-spirited church full of iniquity will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into a tree wherein lodged the fowls of the air. At her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. All this is true. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride church will mature, and her ripeness shall be an identification with her Lord by means of the Word. I'd underline that if I was you. And her head who will come to her is the mystery of godliness. Now, what is godliness? Brother Brown said, I looked everywhere to try to find what godliness is. He said, to be like God. All right. I thought that would be the nature of the Father. And her head who will come to her is the mystery of godliness, which indeed is Christ. And as the false church with all cunning and diabolical power made up of political force, physical force, and demons of darkness come against this true bride, the true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word will do the very acts of power that Jesus did. Okay? Then as she nears her headstone, becoming like him through the Word, Jesus will come that the bride and the groom may be forever united as one. already the visible manifestations of what I have been telling you are seen all around us. The ecumenical move of the tires is factual, but also it is a fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by his message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers, and with the restoration of the word will come the restoration of power. You want power? Power apart from character is satanic. Right? That's what the prophet said. So what is it? Characterless Laodicea is what your prophet said it is. What about it? Do we want a character that's molded by suffering? Or do we want a character that's molded by a characterless Laodicean age? Which one is it? Let's stand. Which one is it? Come on, brothers. I hope you go back and listen to this message. Don't talk to me and tell me what it sounded like. Go back and listen to the message. Because if you say it to me, so you should, I'm going to just tell you, so we'll go back and listen to the message. Because if there's anybody who believes in living right, you know I do. And you know I don't believe in just being any kind of a garbage can. But I know little babies. It don't matter how old they are, they're still little babies. They may have been around the message for 20, 30, 40 years, but they're still little babies. Still wanting sugar tits to be able to just little sermons and sermonettes and pat you on the back and tell you how good. And then, oh boy, that preacher, he really got all over my toes. Well, why don't you put your shoes on? Get the toes out of the way. What are you saying, Brother Dale? There is no way to come to adoption the way people's preached it. But I'll tell you one thing, that from day one, when I saw what that prophet has said, I've tried to preach the revelation, to give you an opportunity by revelation to be able to inherit your inheritance. Because the only way you'll get your inheritance is by the revealed word. So then you see why did I preach so hard about revelation, and I preached so hard about the seals, Daniel 70 weeks, marriage and divorce, whatever you want to cover, to give you an opportunity to be able to say, the word can build me into what I'm supposed to be. The word can make a child of God. The word can bring a person to adoption. But the revealed word is the only thing that will. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. That's what Brother Dale believes. I believe that the revealing of the word will bring you up the stature of a perfect man. Because that's what I done. I asked Brother Moat when he preached it in 71. I said, okay, now you preached it. I believe it. He preached every one of those virtues and the things to the letter. And I believe it. I still believe exactly what he preached about it. But I said, now how do I get them? I want to know how to get them. Well, it was about 1980. The Lord spoke to him and said, it's only by the revealing of the word can the virtues be brought into a person. So you know what I've been preaching ever since then. Try to preach enough word, Brother Colley, to where you can make it. It's only by the revealed word. That's the only thing that'll hold anybody. It's the only thing that'll keep any of us is the revealed word. Amen. You can holler all you want to about seniority and how long you've been around. That don't influence the devil none whatsoever. But what he can't stand is when that he beats you to death and yet you still love the word and you still love the God of the word. Go ahead, Brother.
369 River. The mighty God is Jesus.
Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, the King eternally. Let wisdom that
the
fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus. You know who wrote this song? Oneness. That's a oneness song. Written by the oneness. You ought to have been in Jamaica and heard him sing it. You think they don't understand the lineup of the things and bringing it down? But they don't see the revelation. Right? Because if it did, there wouldn't be oneness. But you think of the scriptures as you're singing that. You think of the scriptures that they're bringing out. That this man here, who was it? Pharaoh? But it was written by the oneness people. Scripture after scripture after scripture is piling before you right now by song. But did they have the revelation? That's what I was trying to explain a while ago. We say we preached all the doctrines. Doctrine is one thing. Revelation is another. Revelation will adopt us. Doctrine will kill us. So we become like all other denominations and things, organizations. Let's dry up. But see, revelation will set us free. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all. Go back to that first verse and listen to the scripture now. Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting. There's a scripture. There's a scripture, the King eternally. Wonderful in wisdom. There's a scripture. By whom all things are made. There's a scripture. There's a scripture. All that song is scriptures. But yet the people that wrote it were oneness. Well, let's don't sing it no more. No. I believe in all them scriptures, but I know the true oneness. There's a scripture. 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 What are you doing? All of it is scripture. I know, I believe the prophet's message, but has it been revealed? Oh, I believe in one God. Has it been revealed? If it's been revealed, there's one thing about it. You won't say that there ain't nothing going on. You'll say the world can't stand what's going on. They can't see what's going on. But my Father is here. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's Jesus and it's all. Look how it's connected now. Look at the fourth verse. Our God, for whom we're waited,
But watch it. Go into Israel. Those oneness don't believe in God coming to you and I. Oneness don't believe in the bride being the amorphy of God. They believe Jesus was the life form of God. And he's going to Israel. We know that's true. But how does he get to Israel? He must first become in the bride to be able to go to Israel, right? Do you? Heavenly Father,
I appreciate you.
I love you, adore you,
I bow down before you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Do you believe it? Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Amen. Think about him. Look what he's done for us. But see, the revealed word is the only thing that you can call your new birth. What else are you going to call it? The revealed word then is the only thing you can call the headstone. Your prophet said that headstone come into the temple, that Ten Commandments. The Word of God. See, the Word of God can bring us to adoption. Because the tutor's got to have the Word. Prophet said the Holy Ghost is in your soul waiting on you to bring him the Word. He said, and when it's brought in, he will quicken it. Passed away, I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Just sing that to one another as you're leaving and think about him. Look what our Father is trying to do, to adopt his children. But if we turn down that word, there is no adoption. You're dismissed. Lord Jesus, we love you, Father. Thank you. We commit everything into your hands, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with everybody on the way.